Well, I want to just kind of just brag on all of you. Thank you for this weekend. It's been exceptionally sweet with not only the first responders luncheon Friday, excellent out turnout, especially because you put forth such a great display out there in front. But if you were here at any time, you would have saw a lineup of police cars, lineup of fire trucks, rescue vehicles. It was, you would have thought somebody did something bad. But it was so wonderful and so honoring, and I want to thank you for that. Veterans Connect, if you're a vet and we don't know about it, please come. It's always going to be the fourth Sunday, but I'm so proud of a number of our vets. Way to go. Wayne Cleary gave his testimony. Lynn Esk gave his testimony. I'm looking at Doug Zimmer gave his testimony. I'm going to miss. These guys, like, crushed it. It was great. We had Ken Tracy gave his testimony. I thought, these guys are all in Hope Chapel. They are rock solid rock stars, these guys, men and women who serve our nation. So proud of all of you. Thank you for that. And then finally, I want to let you know, many of you are heading off to Loft House Build next weekend. So I'm going to be meeting up with you right after this service in the fellowship hall. We'll be touching bases with that. So sure excited. It's been a full August. Next week starts the setup for the fall with Labor Day, but we got some work to do with regards to our series. The series we're in, Tuning Up Family Life. Here we go. You ready? Tuning Up Family Life is our series. And you know me, that if we don't launch into a joke, you're going to write me. Why do you write me about a joke? But anyway, here it is. Because if you saw stucco work being done, a lot of good maintenance is happening at Hope Chapel, but it's going to be needing some painting. So it reminded me of this one. Heard the story about the volunteers at church. They decided to paint the church, but because paint was a little scarce, they decided to add water and thin it out. They did the project, turned out okay. Then a rain came, a gully washer like last weekend, huh? And it washed all the paint off the building. The guys were exasperated. Went at it again, thinned it a little bit more, because now they're really hurting for paint. They finished project, rain came through, washed it clean. Just then, the clouds parted, and a voice from heaven said, "Repaint and thin no more." So here we go. Today's message, part two of our series, Being Single and Satisfied. Being single and satisfied. Full disclaimer, I'm certainly not an expert on this topic, and I'm not very satisfied on a lot of things. God's working on me. But I think we're going to enjoy some things as we journey together on this topic. And I'm trusting as you who throw out these topics, like, oh, that's a good one. Dear Lord, what do you have to say about it? So, Lord, would you speak now through the message, especially through our audience who is joining us online. Only you can make things happen that really bring life and encouragement. Lord, do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Isn't it true that we hear so much of a constant message via through movies, through media, how that you or I would be much happier if we were in a dating format or possibly even married? And I got to be honest, the church isn't much better. Church kind of forces, like, well, if I'm not married, I guess I really don't matter. And I do often, we hear messages on marriage and messages maybe on areas that even involve parenting, very little on singles. It's as if singles don't exist, and we really want to. You can see as we take a look at Tuning Up Family Life, like we were last week talking about blended families. So we're going at it in a different approach, and dealing with singles and being satisfied is so significant and so important for us. So as we look here, I want you to know talking about this is going to be important because we have not just people who haven't been married yet. We have people who are divorced. We have people who are widowed. So let's be aware of those kinds of balances in our fellowship. It's important for us. And the challenge is that let's go and adventure now together as a faith family. It's worth noting, I often we'll take a look at some things. And when we do, I want you to be aware that I'm not advocating this any way that we go out and find somebody to marry or how to get married, or you who are married, this is not a message on now you should go get divorced. It's amazing what people will hear. It's like, what are you? Who? But we do find that there are people that will kind of think differently. And we want to just be aware of some areas. I do know that there are people out there, the pros and cons of being married, and certain friends that need more of Jesus in their life. They just think that, you know, I think I have a little more benefit being single than being married. It's like, where did you get that? And then there are others that come along and they just realize, well, as a single person, I face some things. And here are four common, universal, common cons. You know, the pros and the cons of being single, so that you and I are aware of that. One is online dating. No bueno. Another one that comes along is the thought that people make all kinds of assumptions that because I'm single, my thinking or my attitude, that's not good. Another one is not having someone to share life's up and downs with that our singles face. And another one is not being invited to things. So we want to take a look and be careful about those things. There is advantages that single people have over married. No doubt about it. No doubt. And that's what we want to take a look and enjoy once again, how to be single and satisfied. I realize there are certain things in my life that I literally have given up to be married and to be a father. But there are certain things I look back and say, yeah, I remember those days as a single man. You know, it was the Lord Jesus who taught about celibacy too. So write this down. We won't show you the verse, but it's Matthew chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, celibate. That's where he comes along and says, there are eunuchs that are born that way. There are eunuchs that are made by men. And there are eunuchs that are made by choice to serve the kingdom of heaven. I didn't know that as a young man in Bible college, there were some celibate Christians that were all into Jesus and did not want to get convoluted with marriage. I was so impressed. These were professors. These were people coming off the mission field, making New Testament scriptures into some language, but they were all about God. I was so overwhelmed and impressed. Some of my colleagues out of Bible college days chose to follow Jesus wholeheartedly and not get married. Now, for me, when my relatives, back basically from the Chicago area and the Dutch Reformed Church said, well, Paul, why don't you be a priest? And I said, I like girls too much. And that just kind of ended that one. I never had to explain myself after that. It was very good and healthy for them. So it's important when we take a look and recognize the importance. But the setting of the context of 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. The setting is Paul is writing this church, city of Corinth. This city of Corinth is a corrupt society. This is a wild city. Paul's planted this church. This letter was written 55 years after Jesus was on the scene here on earth. But Corinth was started by the Greeks, and then the Romans kind of dominated the Mediterranean area and took over. So now it's under Roman rule. So this Roman paganism / sexual immorality is rampant in Corinth. And Paul is addressing this and talking about this. So you have the city of Corinth that's influenced by Greeks, influenced by Romans, influenced a little bit by really Egypt. And you have this pagan society, you have temples that are set up there, you have shrines, the various false gods. Sometimes you think, well, man, it's tough to be a Christian here in modern day America. You could have thought, what is going on back then? It's got to be the Holy Spirit to be a Christian back then. And he's talking to some of those individuals right now. So let's take a look. First point, Quit waiting on God to give you a soulmate. I'm going to explain that. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Let's see what the scripture says as Paul writes the church. Now, regarding your question about young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord, in his mercy, has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. And if you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. And if you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you are to get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles, and I am trying to spare you those problems. Now, it's interesting. If you take a look at the passage, make an observation, Paul says, I've got wisdom. And that wisdom, it's interesting because it's opposite of our society. Our society is you really want to matter and find purpose. You need to find somebody to get married. What Paul's addressing is because the church often will even say that you need to get married. I remember going to Bible college thing, and I need a Bible, I need to play guitar, and I probably need to get married to be accepted around here, but I found it was not the case. You do need the Holy Spirit. So what was interesting to take a look at Paul's writings here, get into that relationship, he says, stay as you are. It is interesting, though, because he's saying, and we'll address that, it's beneficial to remain single for the sake of serving Jesus. Now, I'm talking to you who are all into God. Because I'm telling you, if you have that lukewarm element as a believer, kind of like in Revelation, hey, you're lukewarm, you're not really loving God, and you're not really, it's just kind of like, well, you know, whatever. But those who are sold out to Jesus, there's so much benefit in that. And it's interesting because verse 26, he speaks of this present crisis, which my study really reveals that there is such oppression on the Christians by the Roman Emperor Nero. That's what he's addressing. It's like, you know, we have some crisis, don't we, going on in our nation? It's like, is this a good time to get married? Well, you know, the Lord will lead people on that. But it's important for us. But the element of a soulmate, what is that? Because people, I just need a soulmate to really fulfill my purpose. I remember going into Bible college, and I Lord, I make this pledge. I am done with girls. I only want you. Plus, girls were expensive to date. Have you found that out yet? It's like, I can't afford this scene, and I'm over this. I'm all for you, God. I'm going big time for that. And then in comes Ainsley. I was serious. I was going to be one of those celibates, eunuchs. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, I meet Ainsley. She's just so cute. She's so nice to talk to. And she said, my name's Ainsley. Well, my name's Paul. I couldn't get her name right. I wasn't going to try. I just, that's cute. Can I just call you Anne? I will remember that one. Oh, yeah, sure. I thought, what kind of girl lets me change her name? Literally, I did. And even some of our early correspondents, dear Anne. I love Ainsley, the name Ainsley. Now, it's like, what was wrong with me? What stopped me was her father that said, if that boy keeps calling you Anne, I'm going to call him Peter. So I stopped, and I'm sure glad. But marriage in biblical time was arranged marriages. You didn't go about picking your soulmate. Your family did. So you go on the those match-made websites, just pay $99, and that family will pick. How many have found your family and friends are not good picks? I just say. So it's important we get a chance here. Usually people take the soulmate concept from Adam and Eve. And it's right there in Genesis 2, verse 8, where God says it's not good that man should be alone. So he had to make Eve, because there's nothing else to pick from, right? So be like, well, God, make that person that. But I do want you to know it's important, I think, in sitting down with people, say, is that the right person for me? Is that the right person for me? Well, there are certain parameters and scriptures you want to maintain, dear single people who are looking, but and that's what you want to keep in. But other than that, I think that God just lets you pick. God lets you pick. If something happened to my wife, can't say, well, I'm going to be celibate, eunuch. No way. Maybe God would let me pick. I think he would. So I just want to free you up. You want to pick somebody who's with Jesus. No, the Bible is very clear on that. And I always like to find people that, man, when you're done talking to them, you feel more in love with Jesus than when you started the conversation. So it's important for us. Adam and Eve came together to find their self-worth and purpose in God. That's the purpose for that. You have to be careful as you look for somebody that you're not looking for your self-worth and your purpose in the created. Find your purpose and worth in the Creator. There's a difference. There's a difference. You find your purpose and worth. It's so wonderful. And I just want to add, I don't know, I didn't mean to get on this. Sometimes I get on this little tirade. But if you are interested in looking for somebody to marry, then do the work. What do I mean by that? Here it is. This is a Paulism. True love is not finding the right person. True love is being the right person. So do the work. Make sure you start to develop and prepare yourself to be that godly man, that godly woman, that person will say, wow, I hit the jackpot. So many times people think, well, I need somebody to marry to really help me. Well, let's just rearrange a little bit. What if you had to marry you? Would that bless you? Yeah, no. I mean, with your little idiosyncrasies, the way your hygiene is, your thought life, I mean, you know what I mean? Just the things that you do with your money. Would somebody like you want to marry you? So it's important when we take a look. True love is not finding the right person. True love is being the right person. Let's take number two. Number two. Don't be the stereotypical self-centered single. Let's see what Paul says in Scripture. It says in verse 32, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided in the same way a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Isn't that? That's very nice, isn't it? I want to help you to serve the Lord. Well, that's really important. Boy, in this day and age, we need those sold-out Christians. And I want you to know there's something about that that's really, really wonderful. To be able to totally give everything you have to Jesus. It was helpful for me to go full on to God and not worry about marriage, no marriage. That was big time. And I found Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I found it to be true. I found that if I go all into God, the things that he knows my little heart crevice would like, he actually provided that. And it continues to be that way. I am so glad I was sold out to Jesus before I got married. And what happened was, is that my wife now, Ainsley, knew I was sold out to Jesus. So there was no like, you know, I'm getting a little jealous that you're spending so much time with your youth group now. Or I feel so jealous that she was so into God herself. And as we both serve the Lord and continue to serve the Lord, it's amazing how the blessings of the Lord really flow. That's a tip to all of you. The best way up is to really go down and give your life completely to Jesus. Apparently, having a spouse can distract. That's what the scripture is saying, from serving the Lord. Have you found that to be the case? I see well-meaning people totally on. We invest in them. They're going on the field for God. And then they get matrimonial and stuff. It's great. Nothing wrong with it. But it is important. So, and then we find some who are married and they feel very spiritually single because their new spouse is not really there at the level of faith commitment as they are. So those things happen. One of the things we do want to remind our singles, don't be self-centered in your focus. Some of our greatest attributes are our single individuals. And the greatest gifts is what should be provided for. Some of our singles should be the greatest people participating in our morning prayer, the 8 to 9. Everybody can at least swing that. What a joy. You give God that first hour of your day. Watch what he does. Oh, watch what he does. Sometimes I don't have time to give God that. I'm telling you, pray for others, because I know we all pray. You're going to find some of the greatest, breathtaking miracles start to happen. You show up right here in this room, 8 to 9, Tuesday through Friday. At least start with one day of the week. See what God does. Just see what God does. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Just a great reminder. Could be some of you watching, you kind of lost your purpose. And you just kind of like now trying to get an accomplishment or a job set up or some form of routine that you have a meaning in your life. But you know Jesus. Wouldn't it be great that you go back to saying, I'm going to find my purpose and meaning in Jesus. And he'll add everything else. He knows what you would like. Number three, as we pick up momentum, don't buy the lie that without marriage, you are incomplete. Be careful about that. Don't buy that lie. Watch out for that. You know, that there was an old movie out, You Complete Me. Well, yeah, I think that's kind of fun. Remember, love is a verb. Love is a verb. You don't say, I feel love for you. Love is an action. You love somebody, those love languages will just flow. It's going to be important. You don't love somebody, it's like you and me, babe, and you know what I need. So it's important that you get a chance. Think about the vows you made on your wedding day. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, 10, but book of Colossians. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Please look at that. Isn't that nice? Whether you're single or married, your completeness is in Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice that you say, man, I'm going to really invest in that relationship? You're going to find some great things move ahead, and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. So, Hope Chapel, let's fight that human tendency to make marriage an idol. Let's do that. Let's not do that. Let's be careful about that and watch over that. Number four, quit waiting for someday. Quit waiting for someday. I don't know where I get up with these phrases, but I'm just going to throw that one out there. There's only 2 days in Scripture we're to keep an eye on and a mindset on. One is today. That is Matthew chapter 6, 34. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough things to do today. The other day is the day of the Lord. Keep an attitude on. That's coming. So you just trust the Lord for the rest of the makeup. It's going to be two things that are important. And trust God. Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4:14 says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone away or gone." What you ought to say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. I like getting up in the morning. I was up at 3:45 this morning just to have my time with Jesus. Because it seems like really early on, things start happening and buzzing and thoughts come along. But it's like, Lord, I want my time with you. And I want to hear from the Lord. And I want to tell him what he means to me. But I often will say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? He may not speak anything specific, but I want to get it out there. Because I am a planner. I'm going to do it this way. I'm a trend planner. It's in my nature. Remember, I'm going to get a house, and I'm going to get married, and then I'm going to get a dog, and then I'm going to have a kid. And that nothing like that worked out. But, and it's the same with each day. Allow the Lord to work in those areas. So, trust the Lord. I want to just finalize a couple of things. Let me speak to the married people. Married people, let's be careful. Be careful. Don't treat single people in your life like a project. Don't go aiming to try to get them married. Stop that. And if they don't bring up their singleness or desire to get married, you don't bring that up. Don't do it. Do I get a witness? All right. Single people, don't allow yourselves to become bitter in this season. Don't do it. God has his hand on you. You're a great asset to this church. Everybody has a table spot around Jesus, and especially in this church. Keep pursuing the good, godly things. And I'll tell you, God will take care of it. And students, please don't hear what I'm not saying, that you shouldn't pursue marriage. But be careful about sexual immorality. I've seen some great couples that should have intended to get married, but because of the premarital sex, it's called sin. I didn't say that, the Bible does. Then suspicion comes in, and uncertainties, and frustrations, and just a demise, and breaks my heart. Because I know that they were intended, but they couldn't wait. And you gotta wait. Because you're intended for somebody for that honeymoon. Or they are intended for the honeymoon for somebody else. So either way, stay away from the property. It's important, especially for that. Wait to get married. So let me just talk about that. Is that okay? Is everybody all right with me? Okay, thank you. I have found one of the greatest things is contentment as a man, to be content where I'm at. And then I just enjoy life. Discontent is really disruption. And we've all faced discontent. Or as the top 10 commandments, don't covet your neighbor's things. Have you ever coveted something? You signed the contract and now you got to make payments for 5 long years and you regret it. Buyer's remorse. But that coveting, you just can't get it off your mind. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. 2 more verses and then we're going to roll. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be what? Content. And whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned, and it's a learned thing, by the way. It is a learned thing. The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things, or I can do this through him who gives me strength. Allow Jesus to be your everything. Let me get one more verse in. 2 Timothy chapter 6. In 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be what? Content. Well, there's just times like, Lord, boy, there's so many things I want to see happen, but I just want to find my contentment in you. I'll tell you, if individuals can find that, you won't wear out all the relationships in your life. You won't force them to be or to do or to command. You just say, Lord, I'm content with you. And besides, Bible says, we came in as bare-rumped cherubs. We're going out the same way, right? Not a stitch. So let's trust the Lord for that. Find our contentment in him. And I just want to add too, aside from Peter, Every other disciple was single. Even Jesus was single. It's good to be single. You can really serve the Lord full heart, wholeheartedly. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. And we want to thank you. You know the longing of each of our hearts. And we are believing, Almighty God, that you're going to just help us to not allow us to go beyond your grace in our life. Each of us, you know us so well. And we just love and embrace our singles. Many of them have so much rich heritage and history. They can help others with a good listening ear. So, Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness. May the grace of God empower us to just bless and to support both our married as well as our singles. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.